Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. I actually get to do a normal yo, which is exciting. I got a fired up Fritz today. Let me tell you, in studio together, which is my favorite thing in the world. I get to see my guy. But Jack comes in like shot out of a cannon today. Like, you're fired up today.
But what am I supposed to do? You know, the first 2 weeks have been like the worst of the possible when it comes to the Philly season, you know? And then now they're back.
Now they're back. Everything's like, good.
Everything is fine in the world now that the Phillies are back. Like, they, you know, it was so annoying. Like, the Red Series and losing that game on what, Saturday?
The 13-0, what are you talking about?
That was annoying. But even like, the Thursday, like the Red Series, they won Sunday and it kind of made everything feel okay or whatever.
Yeah.
But like that Thursday, I was like, is this really what we're getting? Mm-hmm. It's just like a disappointing, like everyone that was questioning the team last year with the whole like, well, it was a flash in the pan. Uh-huh. Like I started to see that floated out there.
Oh yeah.
The Rob Thompson's the disaster thing was floated out. And it's just like, I was annoyed at where I felt like it was kind of trending. And all it took was a White Sox series for me to be like, you know what, they're fine. Everything's good. It was a big exhale series out in Chicago.
Yeah, now they should have won all three, but you know, we'll put that aside, you know. Look, you never win a double. This team never wins games with double. It's like the all-time log.
Yeah, I don't think I have the stats in front of me, but I feel pretty confident that never seen it.
They've never won a doubleheader.
No.
That's actually
a rule. Like, you're not allowed. Yeah. Like, the home team has to take one.
Yeah. That's right.
And
or just basically the team facing the Phillies. You know, at least one. Because we've definitely lost both ends with a doubleheader before.
Yeah, we have seen that. Was that, I think, the Kingery game, right?
Yeah.
Didn't Kingery pitch both?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Guess who produced that whole game on the radio? The whole day on the radio.
Look, you don't have to do that anymore.
I know.
You're
on PhD, by the way. So I'm not even here. So I had to learn a whole new system. And Scott Kingery's pitching, and it was a disaster. I think that was Wentz's first game back.
That's also when games are like 6 hours long.
Oh my God, it's awful. Dude, it's the top five worst day of my life.
I mean, now a 15-run game is like 2.5 hours. Yeah. That's no biggie.
It's great. Get rid of the Ghost Runner.
It's the best. What do we need the Ghost Runner anymore? Like, it's to speed up the game. We don't need that anymore. The game has sped up. You're in extra innings by, like, the two-hour mark. Like, we're fine.
Totally.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, you know, I said this on the final out last night, and you know, I kind of – the way that they've played the last week to me is, like, they've all settled down. Mm-hmm. They've all settled into roles. Like, Rob Thompson, I believe, has found the top of his lineup that he's going to stick with until Bryce is back, and then we'll see how they adjust from there. But it's pretty much going to be Scott Turner and then Harper eventually. I look at the bullpen and like, dude, I mean,
yesterday was the day. Like, yesterday was the first time we saw like big games, what it could look like, you know, Soto, Sir Anthony, Alvarado. Like, that can be it was Kimbrel yesterday, but like when it's that can be devastating.
Yeah, well,
those three at the back of the bullpen when it matters can be devastating.
Well, that was game one on Tuesday.
Yep.
I mean, game one on Tuesday, they went Soto, Kimbrel, Sir Anthony, yep, Alvarado. And it was like, good afternoon. Or, dude, I've messed that up three times.
You were right. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Oh, it's good morning, good afternoon,
it's
good night.
Good morning, good afternoon, good night. Yeah.
Well,
I was thinking of the movie. There's a movie. Good night and good luck.
This is one of these awful, like, 60s movies
that
you
like. George Clooney movie, buddy.
Man. If it's not Ocean's 11, I got no time for George Clooney.
That's fair. I think it's a good take.
I got no time. Like, he's fine.
He's okay.
He's okay.
Yeah, you liked One Fine Day.
Also, like, did he do anything before he was, like, 40? Well, is he in anything where he's in his 20s?
Yeah, I don't know about 20. Well, he's in Facts of Life when he was really young.
Right.
He was on ER.
But he started, oh, okay.
Yeah,
but he started late, right? He's a late bloomer.
Yeah, he's like a late bloomer, right. No doubt. Yes.
Right. That's
he
like
also
you.
Looked like you. Almost cursed there. You can probably hear a little bit of it. Yes, just like me. You know what? Me and George Clooney, same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Many people do say that. You are the George Clooney of radio.
I think so, too.
And podcasting, for what it's worth.
That's right.
Well, ability to relate.
You have gray hair like George Clooney.
Well, ability, ability to relate to a younger audience in your 40s. I think that's one of your best traits. No, but like, dude, like you're watching Gregory Soto and you're watching, you know, and Sir Anthony's back. Like, you know, we talked about, I think it was, maybe it might have been last podcast, how it looked like they tweaked his mechanics. Mm-hmm. And he talked to, I think, Alex Coffey yesterday about tweaking his mechanics. And I mean, on Monday, it was just like, Tuesday, it was like freaking 99 with sync. And it's like, well, good to have you back, buddy.
There we go, buddy. There we go, buddy.
But yeah, like, it's just, it's kind of, it's game, like, good luck coming back against the Phillies if they have Soto, Alvarado, Sir Anthony, Kimbrel.
I don't know.
Kimbrel.
Strom? Eventually.
But
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what their role for Strom's going to be.
He's probably going to be more of a move him around, yeah, like long when you need him kind of guy.
I kind of get the feel he's going to. Well, I think when Ranger first comes back, I think he's going to be the piggybacker.
Yeah, you mentioned that last time, which makes a lot of sense.
And then eventually, I think he settles into a role. Like, he's paid too much to be Nick Nelson. I don't want him to be Nick Nelson. But I think, like, there's going to be starts where starters go five. And like they only allow three runs or sure. whatever, so you're still in it. And then Strom's job is going to be get through the sixth and seventh.
Yeah, or even just pitch until, you know, we catch up or whatever it is in those type of situations. And look, I mean, he's already stretched out, right? I mean, like you have a guy in the bullpen who can give you innings, and it's especially important with this bullpen has been crushed early in the season. I mean, Walker last night was like the third guy who's going to the sixth inning this year or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So, well, Bailey Falter is our first
Bailey
one to go into the seventh,
exactly,
just like we all predicted.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
Although I will say, do you think that Andrew Bilotti was like, oh, thank God?
Andrew Bilotti was like, top, my arm's going to fall off. Like, yeah. Literally just fall off my body if you keep putting me in there. Yeah, I think Bilotti was like, thank God.
I got 3 days off? Really?
Yeah. What is this? It's a miracle.
Brogdon, same thing.
Yeah, but that's going to be important. Like, guys can give you length, especially in those spots where, you know, if your starter struggles and he only gives you three or four or five or whatever, and, you know, you can't just keep crushing the pen over and over and over again throughout the season. Guys like Strom are going to matter, you know, saving pitchers for a day.
Yeah. I guess, is he back the top or is it Rob Thompson?
I went top there. It was kind of halfway.
Oh,
you see what I did?
That.
I said, hey, top, you know, kind of halfway.
I'm starting to call Walker walk.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's a natural thing.
Yeah. Well, he's walkie when he's, you know, a baby.
Walkie.
And then eventually he's going to be walk.
Walk.
Yeah.
Walk is strong.
Yeah.
Walk's got a strong kind of feel.
Believe
to
me,
it.
It's weird watching Taiwan Walker pitch every
day.
Oh,
like, it is.
Like, Walker's shoving tonight. It's hold on, don't give me a peek in my future.
Well, it is a funny thing where when you have a kid and then you name that kid, like, all of a sudden this name that really just meant nothing to you your whole life becomes the most important thing. And anytime I see Zoe, I'm like, Zoe, oh my God, I love that name. Yeah. But like before, it was just like,
just a name.
Just a name. Like, now it's the most important name.
Yeah.
What a wild thing.
It is.
By the way, that thing that you just said, though, is funny for me recently. Because for basically the entirety of my career, we had no, like, real important Jameses in Philly sports.
I know.
And then we get Harden and Bradbury.
Well, and then I just heard the camera say, like, it comes down to whether or not James...
And all of a sudden, like, I'll catch myself. I'm like, wait, what?
I was like, listen, if Seltzer is determining the outcome of the Sixers season, I don't think they got... I mean, you might have more burst than James Harden at this point, though.
Dude, at that game two, I would have more burst.
Oh, hold on. 215-592-9494. James Harden cooked.
You know what else I would have done?
What?
I would have ran back on defense instead of complained about getting a foul every single time I joked. But no big deal.
There's Boomer Seltzer. There's Boomer Seltzer.
You know what I would do? I'd play hard.
Oh, yeah. You'd be grinding it out. Yep. Sixers talk with Jack and James. Who doesn't love that? Everyone loves that, obviously. I totally forget what I was going to say about Rob Thompson, but you know,
I'm sure it was super poignant and impressive. Let's just pretend like you said it. Like, wow,
great point, Jeff. Per usual,
point, dude.
Yeah,
I agree.
You look at the, like, he couldn't run the bullpen into the ground, and that's the main what we keep. But I will say, like, you know, he was obviously very aggressive in this. Like, he treated this series like it was September. He used his four big guys in two of those games because, like,
and to win the game,
and
close
by the way,
it out with Alvarado, all that.
Like, I appreciate that.
Me too.
Like, I know it's early, but they're seven games back already.
Girardi would have never. He could be 15 games back and he'd still be doing his trash in the first 2 months of the season. Well, I got to get everyone in there. I got to get Nick Nelson some time.
Like, well, I mean, he literally had Nick Nelson try to close out a Braves game.
That's why I said it. I know. Yes.
So. That made me happy. And again, like, when you get to those guys, you know, I just think it's going to be tough for teams to come back against those guys if they're pitching at their best. And Kimbrel, while I still watch him with a cautious eye.
Yeah. He's looked better the last couple of games. Yeah.
And I think he had four strikeouts in two games.
The stuff looked like good yesterday.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Still like 93.
Solid. Yeah, but the movement. Like at least it felt like, you know, it felt like hitters were not as on top of his stuff as they were earlier.
Right. I mean, he struck out Luis Robert a 93 right down the middle. I was like,
By the way, hand up. Totally thought it was Luis Robert. Forever.
Yeah, so did I. And then I heard Fransky say it, and I was like,
I heard Fransky say it. I heard McCarthy say it, and I was like, oh, so it's definitely Robert.
I know, but it's way cooler.
It's way cooler. Robert is so much cooler.
So much cooler.
I mean, like, in the same ballpark.
I agree.
So, honestly, I like the player less. I'm kind of out on him.
Just take Robert and go be the MVP he should be. Like, he should be way better.
If he hadn't caught that ball, Turner could have had the cycle.
Well aware.
I saw him go for it. I knew he was going to. We talked about it before. Like, dude's a amazing outfielder. So I thought he would get there. But off the bat, I was like, oh man, we're going to be potting like right after this. Like, emergency pot is coming.
Bastard. Yeah. I was. Again, it's just this David Bell thing is never going to end.
I know.
And it was funny. Someone pointed this out to me on Twitter. Like, Turner had three hits and then David Bell simultaneously got thrown out of the game. And he was like, clearly David Bell is frustrated that his reign of terror in Philadelphia is coming to an end. But then Luis Robert, as we're calling him on this podcast.
Let's just call him Robert. It's better.
Yeah. He had to chase down a ball in the gap. Yeah. And I don't know how he got there so fast.
He got there so fast. Like, I was like, this is the triple. It's happening.
Yeah,
like, I was so sure.
Although it's way harder to get a triple into the left center field gap.
Oh, yeah. Way harder.
Got to be right center
field. Yeah, harder for most. Turner. But you need a nice bounce.
Are you happy that I did not bet Trey Turner anytime home run yesterday?
Thank you. Yeah. That's really nice of you to let us.
I saw it and I was like, oh, damn it, man! Like, come on, everyone else is able to reap the rewards.
Yeah, man,
I need to see if there is cycle odds.
Ooh!
If I bet a Trey Turner cycle every day, I guarantee if I bet $10 on it, like, it would pay out.
You.
They'd be a good man.
You're just a great gambler, right?
No one's better.
Like, if I bet I'm going to win, and that's why I bet.
It's a good philosophy to have. It's the numbers game.
You've got a system.
For sure. Yeah, I'm like Chip Kelly with my system. But, yeah, so, I just think that, like, the bullpen, like, they're kind of finding their roles out there. And I will say, Rob Thompson will deny it all he wants. I don't believe him. I think Alvarado's a closer now.
What do you mean? Of course he is.
Two
straight save situations. Like, they were save situations. He is the closer.
And
I went to pick him up in fantasy after the first one, and he was gone. But, like, I was like, oh, he's the closer. Like, after the first win, I was like, he's the closer now. And then backed it up yesterday.
And the difference between him being a closer now, and I would normally fight this in the past, but, like, the fact that he can... You needed Alvarado for the ability to put him in the seventh and shut an inning down.
Also because he was the only lefty you had in your pen you could count on. Now they got dudes.
But he's got options.
Yeah.
He's got options. So, like, if your choice is, like, Soto or Alvarado in the seventh, like, he now can be like, all right, I'll give it to Soto, and then I'll make sure that my final three outs are being given to the, like, just he is so nasty, dude.
He's the best reliever in baseball.
He might be
the best reliever in baseball right now. Yesterday was the first time all season he hasn't had at least two strikeouts in one of his outings. I mean, that's crazy, dude.
And I don't think he's walked the guy yet.
No, he hasn't walked him in yet.
If you needed three outs right now, 08 Brad Lidge or this version of Jose Alvarado, who you taking?
I mean, Alvarado's way more nasty. Like, I'm sorry. We remember Lidge was amazing that year, obviously 48 perfect in the playoffs, all that stuff, but, like,
sort of falsy.
It was scary. Like, life on a Lidge. We all remember that. Like, it was not like come in and mow him down. No. Like, Jose Alvarado, it feels like, I know Soler had the homer off him and that happened.
But we erased that from memory.
It feels hopeless. It feels like the other team has no shot when they're going up against Alvarado.
Right? Yes. He is.
Is that, like, heresy to say that he's better know Lidge right now?
It is. I mean, he's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, he made one bad pitch to Soler.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's just like, good morning, good afternoon, good night. Yep. That's what it is watching
strike
Jose.
Strike one, strike two, and good luck.
Yeah, that's his mantra. And, like, man, it's just.
Well, when you saw it, Stocker, I was actually listening in the moment yesterday when Stocker talked about it, where he was like, clearly the White Sox plan against Alvarado was don't get behind the count because they just came swinging first pitch every time. And it's that's the reason. Like, you're screwed if you get behind the count. Like, you're done.
Yeah, it's like, am I supposed to swing at the 101 bowling ball sinker or
the 100-mile sinker?
Or the 95-mile-an-hour cutter? What am I supposed to do against
silly.
This?
Yeah, it's silly.
What
a trade, by the way.
I know.
Garrett Clevenger.
Actually got one right.
It was the first one. We should have known right away.
Yeah, yeah. Take that, Rays. Take that. What have you guys done recently?
Yeah!
We were in the World Series last year. What have you done?
Yeah, what have you done?
Yeah, what have you done?
Yeah.
Besides hit a home run in every game.
Besides, you have the best record
hold
in baseball.
On. Fills with the same average as them. Yeah. So.
You have the second best record in baseball. I'm actually doing this just assuming because I haven't looked it up.
It has to be the Braves.
It has to be.
I mean, there's. Yeah, they're
that's the point. I know.
Believe it or not.
They're 15-4.
Yeah, believe it or not. They're pretty good.
Yeah. Well, like we knew. We knew they were good.
It's all right.
We knew they were good.
Just like, and that's where I think. Like I don't like people were freaking out like they're seven games back. It's like I don't really care. Like I can't care about that stuff when the Phillies won 87 games, and went to the World Series.
Yep.
Like I would love to compete for the division. Like coming down the stretch and it being Phillies Braves and like how fun that would be. Sure, but like ultimately at this point, like all I can focus on is what the Phillies are doing.
Well, and also think about last year. And I do think there is something to having to fight to make the playoffs and heading into the playoffs. I mean, how many times in baseball have we seen wild card teams go on runs? But like last year's of the final four teams, three of them played in the wild card round. The Houston Astros were the only team that got a bye that made it through. So, I don't know. That tells me something.
By the way, speaking of slow starts, did you know that the Astros have started 7-9
I saw.
In like four straight years?
Yeah.
And they've been in the ALCS. And
they won 106 games last year.
Yeah.
Like, 106?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Whenever we're free, you know, I'm starting to, I used to fight against the whole like, oh, look at these early starts and like, you know, it's not all that bad. Now I lean into it because now I need it. Like now I need it when we're talking about, you know, the future of this baseball team.
So. Yeah. Well, I'm also a big like, you know, every year I say I don't even look at the standings until June 1st, which is a lie.
Oh my gosh. That's such a lie.
I know.
That's like saying we can't overreact to spring training.
Which we can. Yeah. But it, yeah. Good. Thank you. I'm there.
Yep.
By the way. This team's hitting, man. Like, this team, they have the best average in baseball, like, somewhat handling. They're batting, like, over 290 as a baseball team.
Well, you have four guys batting over 320.
Yes.
Like, we used to yearn for, like, one 300 hitter.
Stott's batting 365.
Man. I know.
Like, almost 20 games into the season.
I know. And like, Brandon
Turner's Barr. Banging. Turner's banging 321. Everyone's like, Trey Turner hasn't been that good. He's banging 321. Well, it's like, no big deal.
He's got to start driving the baseball.
I know.
He's getting there. Yeah,
we saw yesterday.
Yesterday felt like a bit of an exhale moment for Trey Turner. You know, like he's been good, but it did feel like in watching him that he was pressing,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, "I'm the $300 million guy. I'm the shortstop. Bryce is out. Like, I gotta kind of pick up the slack from that standpoint." And yesterday was kind of like, "All right, I got the home run out of the way, so I don't mm-hmm. have to like look like I'm trying to, you know, get it out of the way." So hopefully, like, I just think that these next 10 games.
It's going to go on a run.
Yeah, we're going to see Trey Turner, like, be like, oh, there he is.
I mean, and again, to the point you just made with Harper out, like, the man, when Harper gets back.
Mm.
I mean, again, the only issue with this team offensively has been hitting with runners in scoring position. And home runs, you're right. There's not been enough power. But again, if they, even without the home runs, with the way they've just been hitting, if they were getting hits with runners in scoring position, they'd be an awesome offense.
Well, eventually the floodgates are going to open.
Absolutely.
Like, that's what we have to view. Like, it's frustrating. You know, the runner scoring position thing's annoying. I think they're, like, what, 14th in baseball?
Yeah.
Runner scoring position.
Which is a lot better than I think a lot of people would think.
Well, but also it's skewed because of the 15 and 13 run games.
Yeah, it's a good point.
So
you're right. Yeah, especially that. Yeah, they were.
Dude, they're like 8 of 14 the one game. It's like, well, that's not. This isn't that team. So, but yeah, like, you know, eventually the runs are going to come. The power is one that's going to be a thing all year, I think.
All right, so let's break this down. Because obviously Schwarber, we're not worried at all about the power. He's already got four, and we know he's going to. Honestly, last year he didn't have four by this time, I don't think. Obviously Harper coming back, maybe it takes him a little bit to get going, but not too worried about that. But you're right. After that, I mean, Turner, you know, obviously hasn't hit a ton, but he'll get to 20 or whatever. But that's what he's supposed to be. You know, he's not a high 20s, low 30s guy. He's done it before, but he's probably a low 20s guy. Castellanos might never hit another home run again. I mean, I'll take all the hits, but
he should have had one yesterday. Like that, the ball hits the wall off of, you know, whatever, like Robert caught it. And then like a couple innings later, Robert hit the same ball, but it didn't go out. And I thought both should have been home runs. So.
Marsh has been great, has shown some pop.
Yeah, but still.
But no, but that's the point. You're right. And this is where we come back to the Reese thing and the Derek Hall and whoever it is, like, you're missing a big spot of power in your lineup.
Yeah, and you just like look at it, right? So Stott's going to be 15 to 20. Turner's going to be 20 to 25. I think he didn't hit his first home run until around this time last year too, and he ended
up
with 21.
Not concerned about it. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it doesn't like the power thing is a thing, but also like I'll take as many base runners and whatever. Like,
well, if he hits with runners in scoring position, doesn't matter.
So then, like Harper coming back will help. Obviously.
By the way, you know, home runs are rally killers too. So
exactly. We don't want that.
That's an official Iowa's position.
Listen, so. I do believe home runs are rally killers. I know, like
no, it's like a bit, but you really do. Believe
I do really
it.
Believe
I know.
That. I know. So yeah, so then, but Schwarber will end up with what, 35? Probably.
I think he'll probably end up in 45 or something, or wow. 40 or whatever.
Well, it was also a better start this year.
Yes,
than he did last
he had 46
year.
Last year. So like, I don't know, 40 somewhere in there. If I had to bet, 40, I think
okay.
is a fair number.
So that's good. Harper will be 20s, hopefully, because
sure.
He's probably gonna be in the lineup next week.
Unbelievable.
Castellanos, like, listen. If he hits like 10 home runs, whatever. If he, as long as he's hitting 290 and driving runners in, we'll take it at this point.
Oh my God! Yeah. Well, at this point, it's again like just seeing him confident and at the plate and not chasing everything and all that. It's like what a win.
Yeah, but I do still think that maybe like a month from now, as he continues to get more comfortable, then he'll be like, okay, I can start.
I can go for it because he's hitting defensively.
And like the hit yesterday to drive the runner in, it was like that's the Castellanos that I'd seen like be backbreaking for years. But yeah, like Marsh would be 15 to 20. Bohm probably 20, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like, yeah, there's not a lot of pop. And it's not even like guys who are traditional pop guys not being pop guys anymore. They just don't have it. But again, like as long as there's runners on base and they're driving them in and whatever, and you can pop one every once in a while, like it's not gonna be the formula for this team. This team is going to be base hits and you know, moving runners along on the bases and all that stuff.
All right, let's get to Wheeler, because I saw your tweet the other day, officially more concerned about Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. It was a weird outing for him. You know, I think the four-run inning, you know, I heard a lot of people saying, oh, it was, you know, blue pits and squibs. And it was. You know, I think there was only one hard hit ball that inning. But the velocity was down.
Yes.
And he didn't look as effective and obviously didn't go deep, super deep. Where you at with Wheeler?
Well, I will say this. He had, like, 3 scoreless after that tweet, so you're welcome.
You did?
But, yeah, it's just like, so now the thing with the third inning is that he had back tightness, which I don't like to hear that it could be injury related.
Yeah, don't like that.
Don't like the velo down, not getting as much swing and miss, and it's just like it doesn't
look the same.
It's not popping.
Yeah, it doesn't look the same.
It's not popping. And when I look at Nola, it's like I think he can operate at a pretty consistent level at 91.
Right.
You know, he doesn't need 97 to be Aaron Nola. And with Wheeler, it's like I think he can still be an effective pitcher at 93, but we're not getting like
Zach Wheeler.
So
he needs to be 97.
Yeah. And, you know, getting swing and miss. There just hasn't been as much swing and miss this year. There hasn't been like, you know, as much whiff rates and stuff. So hopefully that the back injury was bothering him or whatever, and he can just kind of settle in and start going off here.
And
but,
the short spring, the short off season, I mean, for him, you know, like the pitching deep, we're hoping that that's something where he just kind of builds himself up.
But I was thinking and watching that start, it's like when Painter hopefully gets back and Ranger gets back and whatever, they can kind of have some options in the starting staff. Like being able to give him essentially like a month, I think would be massive. If they can find a way to do it, like give him a month and just monitor his stuff, and hopefully that he can kind of have some bounce back in the second half of the year. I was thinking that and watching him. The problem with the start they've gotten off to is that they don't really have that luxury right now, and they don't the way it's kind of trending here, they might not have the luxury all year. Like, so again, it's just one of those things where you hope that it's because of the short off season and he pitched deep in the year and he's still ironing some things out. But man, it's just been he just doesn't look the same. And you hope you wake up a start from now and he's back to 97. But we did see it in the postseason. I mean, in the postseason too, they had to like skip his starts.
Yep.
And until he pitched in game 6, and I was like, oh, there's Zach Wheeler, 98, 99. So, man, it's just been – it's worrisome. It is worrisome.
It is. Honestly, it's probably the most concerning thing going on with the team right now.
Yes.
If you had to look at everything else feels like it's kind of falling into shape. I think we feel really good about Taiwan Walker and what he's given us so far. Falter, you know, he's given us all you can kind of ask for from that role. the bullpen, like you said, we're starting to feel better about it. And offensively, you know, outside of the lack of power, you know, this team hits.
Yep.
They put runners on base. They just got to knock them home. I'm with you. You know, it's the Wheeler-Nolar combo, is
yes.
it? But I think Wheeler, so far, I think you're right. I think it's more concerning of the two because, you know, he really needs that stuff.
Yep.
And we haven't seen it. And he's, and not just that, he also is the ace.
Yes.
You know, like, Nolar's good. Wheeler's your ace. Wheeler's your one. Wheeler's your guy who's going to have to go up and face, you know, Max Scherzer in a playoff series, cheating Max Scherzer
yes.
in a playoff series, or
good luck with all the sticky stuff, pal.
Yeah, did you see the umpire said it was the stickiest hand that he has felt in 3 years of checking this, to the point where when he put his finger on Scherzer's hand, it stuck to it.
Nice.
Oh, but he didn't cheat.
Girardi's right.
Yeah. Girardi, how about that?
Girardi was right.
Vindication for Joe.
I still, that was one of the funniest things I've ever
seen.
It was
one of the funniest things, yeah.
You're telling me, Girardi, that the first night that they're instituting these massive new changes,
so great.
He's like, nope, get him.
Check him. Because Scherzer was so mad.
Yeah.
It
was beautiful.
Remember Scherzer, the pants down, the one time? Yep. Like, Scherzer's such a baby about this stuff.
He
too.
Is.
It's like, bro. Sorry, man. You're going to have to be smarter about how you cheat now. All right?
Also, just, like, you're going to have to get checked. Like,
yeah.
Just,
you know it.
Like, stop. Oh, my God.
I know.
Everyone complaining about everything all the time.
Just go out and freaking play baseball. Guess what? You got a pitch clock now.
I'm sorry that you're cooked.
Deal with it.
I'm sorry that you're cooked, Max.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that all your stuff is declining.
How's Verlander? Oh. Okay.
Right. Maybe we don't bank on two
40-year-old pitchers.
Yeah, we don't do that.
All right, I got one more thing before we get to the take bag, and you can cover any other pitching stuff in there that you have. I need your official statement on something.
Okay.
Because you joked around the pod, but I know you.
Right.
You really thought Bryson Stott was going to beat Joe DiMaggio.
Yes.
How you feeling?
So
yes. Yes, I did.
I rarely agree with Elliot. On baseball
things. Yeah, never, actually. It was probably a better
one. But it is annoying that it happened on a doubleheader day.
Yeah, Elliot. So the Elliot texted us that, and he, like, the heart of what he's saying is right. Like, the day, he got to hit that day.
Yes.
It does suck.
It does suck.
And especially because he went two hits yesterday, like, comes right back out.
Yep.
Like, if he goes on another streak, it's going
to
be
We're
really...
going to point to that game.
You're going to be like, oh, the Lucas Giolito game.
Yeah. So I think DiMaggio called in the doubleheader.
From the grave.
The DiMaggio family called it in.
That was what.
Yeah. No, it's sickening. It's totally sickening what's happening in baseball
right
now.
They use their juice to get to the White Sox and say, you got to call this game today, save a doubleheader tomorrow. We know he won't get hits in two games in the same day.
Yeah. Because it's not possible.
It's the most logical explanation.
Thank you. No, it was legitimately soul-crushing. I just wanted it to happen so bad.
Couldn't have been a worse game for it, too, where, like, just the whole lineup just shut down completely.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they're going to get no hit today.
It was
It
was the most scheduled loss I've ever seen of a Phillies team ever. And
jeez,
it was so funny. It was classic. And people were getting mad. It's like, dude, like, they obviously didn't care.
Yeah.
They obviously didn't care.
Yeah, which is a shame. I mean, like, don't do that, Phillies.
Yeah.
But, yeah, whatever.
But listen, man. Again, I said this, like, on the show or whatever. I watched this team get no hit in the World Series.
Yeah, that's true.
You're telling me
live.
You're telling
we're
me
in the building.
You're telling me an April game is supposed to break me. This is nothing.
Do it all the time. Yeah,
yeah, whatever. This is just another day. But yeah, the Stott.
That's so true. What a great point. We do have that trump card now moving forward.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what type of shutdown game a pitcher has against us, we're like, could be worse.
Yeah,
we saw it.
And technically, it was their second no hitter in 20 games.
Wow.
Look at
that. Yeah. Well, it wasn't no hitter.
Right. Well, it would have been their second no-hitter in like 20-some games.
Yeah, you're right.
Also, combined no-hitters don't count, so whatever.
So, it's a no-hitter, but I agree with the heart of what you're saying.
It doesn't matter.
It's not the same.
No.
It shouldn't be.
Do you even know who Cole Hamels threw the combined no-hitter against?
Who he threw it against or with?
Against.
The Angels or
no.
something?
No. It was the Braves.
There you go.
Combined,
and it was the Cubs that he threw his actual no hitter.
Of course, we know everything about that game.
I know.
We know everything about that game.
Right.
We know that Odubel, like, whatever.
Yeah.
You're
right. It's a good point. I agree with the heart of what you're saying.
I know.
I'm just saying. I really do. I feel very strongly that it should, like, it's a no hitter technically, but it should be like combined no hitters in one category and regular no hitters in another.
Right.
Like, you should mark it, but it's different.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah.
I think that's fair.
So yeah, the Stott thing was crushing, but it was also equally as crushing is that, like, Bohm smoked two balls to left field that night, to where it's like, you know, if we lose Stott's streak, at least we have the 13 game hitting streak for Alec Bohm, you know, right behind him. And that was disappointing.
All taken away.
But
believe it or not, someone's probably not going to catch DiMaggio, despite your belief that
yet.
It could happen. I will say, though, it is a part of this balls in play stuff. We have seen more hitting streaks.
Well,
like across the league, it's been pretty fun.
The fact that the Phillies are a team that has four guys hitting over 320.
The Phillies are betting 293 or 295 as a team. Like, that's crazy. We're 20 games into the season almost. They're betting 390 or 290. Like, that's nuts.
I think they batted 240 last year.
That's what every team does. Teams are always linked to 230 and 240. Like, that's what baseball is now.
Look at this.
It's thrilling.
God.
Like, we got our game back,
oh,
buddy.
But I was told.
You know, Bryce Harper was like, oh, we want to get our game back. Sorry, Bryce. We got our game back, buddy.
Oh, right? But I was told Manfred was a problem.
You. What a zag that would be. Mr. Rob Manfred, what a job he's done.
Who let Manfred heat up? All I'm saying.
Yeah, you know what Manfred did? He hired Theo and said, Theo, fix my game. And Theo was like, got you, bro.
Yep.
And that's what happened.
Yep. No, this is all Theo.
I'm being serious. That's what happened.
The stolen base thing is 100% Theo.
It's all Theo. All this stuff Theo's been talking for years. He's like, we got to get the game back to where it should be. We need balls in play. We need stolen base. We need triples. We need this. Like, he's been saying it for years.
Yeah. So, once again. Thank you, Theo.
Thank you, Theo. And I guess thank you, Rob, for hiring Theo.
Yeah.
Even though it was an obvious move. Like, who wouldn't hire Theo?
Well, Dabrowski's better anyway.
Yes. True. Yeah, let's go with that.
Our guy.
Let's go with that. Our guy. All right. Take bag it up.
Buddy. All right. Take bag it up.
All right.
All right. You know what the Braves would do with Bryson Stott right now?
They would love to have him.
No. No.
Make him their starting shortstop.
No. What would the Braves do with Bryson Stott right now? If you'd see a press release.
Oh, they'd sign him to, yes, you're right. They'd sign him to a 10-year, $40 million contract or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe $50 million, something like that, yeah.
Just saying.
That's a good point by you. You're right. You're right.
Would you
how give... How do we, all these years, again, look at the Acuna contract, look at the Albies contract, look at the Riley contract, look at all these things. Like, why do they do this?
Would you give Bryson Stott a contract extension right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, I'm all in on him as a hitter, all in.
Well,
I think he's good. Like I said last, I think he could win a batting title someday.
So the thing about Stott, and I wonder if they're thinking about it. I'm sure the Kingery thing has given them a little bit of cause for pause.
Yeah, but different regime,
of course. But the only thing that I wonder about, like possibly extending him or extending Marsh or extending Bohm, is that do they want the extra cash to use like in free agency? So, like, the Braves do it because they want to. They don't have as much money as the Phillies, in a way.
So they have to.
So they sign them young or whatever. And but with the Phillies in the offseason, like, they still want to sign players. Do they want to increase
Stott's? Keep their flexibility as the
idea. Like, do you want to increase?
That's an interesting thought.
Do you want to increase Stott's number right now?
The question is how much value do they see in getting him at a discount or what they believe will be a discount? Obviously, you're taking the risk of him not being the player you thought he was or whatever. Versus the flexibility year by year. It's a fascinating thought.
Yeah. I think they'd rather have the flexibility.
I don't think they're going to sign a long-term contract. Now,
but so just saying. The Braves would do it.
Yeah, the Braves. In a second.
So this is tied into the Wheeler and Nola thing. And I know I advocated for this in the offseason, but now in watching them, those guys, and I know this like might be a bit overreactionary, but like, when it comes to the trade deadline, I know there's going to be this idea of trading Mick Abel or Griff McGarry to upgrade the team.
I'm already seeing people talk. I saw on Twitter a Griff McGarry-based CJ Krohn trade.
Ew.
I know.
Stop.
Right there. Well, they had Kyle Freeland in it too. So right?
Oh, awesome. Great.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's
great.
Even better. But like with the way that it seems like, we'll see what happens with Nola. I still think they want to re-sign him, but there's a possibility he leaves, of course.
Yeah, and look, if Nola doesn't figure it out this year, he's probably not getting $200 million on the market. Like, he'll still get paid, like, one down year won't stop it, but I don't think he gets the money he wants if he continues on this trajectory.
And also, that might also help the Phillies with bringing him back.
That's my point. Yeah,
so,
that's where he's going.
And then Wheeler, we'll see. Hopefully, it turns it around. But, like, at this point, they can't trade either of those guys.
Wow, what a take here.
Well, because if Wheeler's trending in this direction, he's 93 and you have 1 year left of him. Like, I need to, with the team and the way they're built right now, like, this is a 5-year window.
No doubt.
This is a 5-year window.
No doubt.
And they're going to need Painter, they're going to need Abel, and they're going to need Griff. If they're going to, like...
Or they could sign guys.
They could sign guys, of course. But, you know, it's just... Now, I think that with their pitching, with the way that Wheeler and Nola are pitching, like, you have to factor in the guys that you have and, like, proceed with caution when it comes to possibly trading those guys.
Okay. I think it's very fair. Now, I think, you could trade for a pitcher who has 2 years left on his deal, and then you could give up one of those guys, and then you're re-signing that guy. Like, there are other ways to do this. But, yeah, I think the heart of what you're saying is true. Like, they need to prioritize pitching over the next 5 years. The lineup's pretty set. Like, they need to worry about where their staff's going to be in a few years. No doubt.
And you have to hope that, again, the best case scenario here is that Wheeler starts bouncing back and is back to Zach Wheeler. But they have to monitor at this point of like, well, what if he's not?
Well, and I think that they have more information than we do on that. Like, they know how Zach is really feeling. They knew where this is coming from. Is it just like, I think they're a lot more aware of where he's at and what the future is, or what they believe the future is, than we are.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's just one of the monitors.
I think it's a really interesting one.
That's kind of, this time last year, Phillies were 8-11.
Oh.
Wait, were they 8-11? I might have gotten this backward. I think they're 8-11 now.
They're 8-11 now.
Okay, so this time last year, they were 7-10.
Oh, okay.
This time last year, they were 7-10. This time this time now, they're 8-11. At both times, a four-game series at home against the Rockies happened.
Oh, we remember that one went last year.
Last time they swept.
They swept the Rockies
here.
Last year? Oh, here. Okay, I'm thinking out there.
Here. They swept the Rockies.
Oh, I remember that. It was a four-game series. I do remember that.
They swept the Rockies here. They got back over 500.
Yes.
And it was like, okay.
And then it wasn't okay.
And then it wasn't okay because Joe Girardi still existed. But, same thing.
Yeah.
And this Rockies team is dreadful.
They've lost 8 straight, I believe. It's 8 or 9. Like, they've been real bad.
Well, and their pitching staff is especially.
Is an abomination.
It's
their pitching staff.
Almost comically bad.
Yeah, it's really bad. I mean, Freeland, Marquez, I can't name the other guy.
Sadly, Marquez is just.
He's cooked.
I love
it's a
him.
Shame. I loved him, but he's not the same guy anymore. And I don't even know who else in the rotation.
Noah Davis?
Never heard of him in my life.
He almost got, like, he had a ball.
I've never heard. You know what? I'm going to pull up the Rockies lineup real quick because this is fun.
Well, it's like, it's Chris Bryant who's starting to
hit
with a little
bit
of power.
Yeah. Is Brendan Rodgers still
there? No. I mean, CJ Cron, everyone's favorite.
Well, obviously CJ Cron.
Even though he's been, like, kind of terrible recently.
Okay. Oh, Blackman's still there.
Yes. He kills us, which is going to be so
rushing. Yeah. So Charlie Blackman could be 75 years old and he's killing us in an old timers game. All right, let's look at this. They got Profar. Jerickson
Profar.
They
do have Jerickson Profar.
I didn't know that. Ryan McMahon, of course. I've owned him. Mike Moustakas, a Rocky.
Moustakas is a Rocky?
Who knew?
Wow.
That's your guy.
I like Moustakas a decade ago.
A. Trejo? You ever hear of him?
He's a fan favorite out there, apparently.
Really? What's his first name?
I don't know.
Okay. H. Castro? Any idea who that is?
Harold Castro. Former Ray great.
E. Tovar. No idea.
Yeah, no idea. And
then they had B. Servin catching. I know they've got Diaz, who's been pretty good for them as their everyday catcher.
Well, the Phillies are facing Ryan Feltner, who's terrible and has an 8 ERA. They're facing Noah Davis.
Oh, Urena's there.
I know. They're facing Kyle Freeland, and yes, they're facing Jose Urena.
Urena
on Sunday
with
a 9.82 ERA. You excited about the return of Christopher Sanchez on Saturday, by the way?
Yes, I'm thrilled. Good. It's the thing. So he'll be the extra guy. He's going to be the sixth. What a thrill.
Yep.
What a thrill.
Yep. Get excited.
You know what? Hey, it is good they have Christopher Sanchez. I know it's like, I'm not excited about it, but like, he is a guy who, for this specific situation, when you get ringed out and you need a sixth starter, like, fine. Sure.
Also, Ryan Kirkering is still nasty. I just want everyone to.
Oh, Orion's belt.
Yep. Orion's belt.
Yeah, we got to come up with the full accounting of what we're going to do. Like 26 players, maybe that's a pod, like an all-star break pod, but the actual fan groups. We need to like really nail that down.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking like Jake Cave, it could be the Cave, and it's like people dressed as Play-Doh.
Well, why don't you just
think about that?
Why don't you keep it simple and call them the Cavemen?
Yeah, that's better.
And then they just all showed up with their beards.
It's way better.
Yeah.
Way better than the Cave and Play-Doh. Yeah. I was trying to go deep with that.
Oh, yeah, you were. It's not that. Sometimes the answer's right in front of you. By the way, Orion Kirkering, 18 strikeouts per nine to start his season.
That is not bad, Jack. That is, I can
get
that.
He's allowed one hit.
Savior.
Get to Redding.
Let's get to Redding and then subsequently to Philly. All right. You have any final thoughts? By the way, I know a lot of people listen to this like quickly when it comes out or whatever. Check out our boy, Jack Fritz, hosting the afternoon show today. No big deal to him.
And tomorrow.
No big deal to him.
But
check out our guy. Call in. Say your high hopes, listener. It'll make his day.
But still doing final out. So
look at you. Just a work.
Well, listen. Someone's got to lead this fan base.
That's right.
You know, that's
that's right. It's a good point.
Because I know, first 2 weeks, everything. Like, yeah. deep breaths. They're back. I'm just letting you know, if you gave up on the Phillies after the first 2 weeks, you're putting on blinders to what it's turned out to be.
The Phillies are back.
They're back. They're 100% back.
I like that.
There's way more like,
again. Except a pod title in here somewhere.
Well, it's just like they're way more, like you just look at how everything's developing. Like it's the lineup is starting to figure it out. The pitching staff's figured it out. The bullpen, they found their four studs, and then you can let like Brogdon and Bilotti and like whoever kind of just like figure it out in the middle. And then Rob Thompson's like starting to, like the decisions are finally like, okay, this is working.
Yep.
So the only way this whole thing like collapses is if Nolan and Wheeler don't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my official position.
I love it. It's a good position.
They're back.
Yeah. And then even if they do, Payne will just come in and be a superstar.
Hopefully.
Yeah. All right. You got any final thoughts?
Final thought is we don't take 3 or 4 this weekend. It's a sweep weekend.
Whoa.
Sweep weekend.
I mean, that would be 12 straight for the Rockies. So I like that. I like that.
Well, it's not in Colorado.
No. So then we got a chance at the point. In Colorado, we'd be saying, don't lose all four.
Yeah, just don't embarrass us. It's usually the motto heading into Colorado.
All right. We'll talk to you guys on Sundays for themselves.